I've been spending peaceful days in the Boundary Waters wilderness. It seems to be the only place where I can find some sustained quiet. I'm listening to the songs and calls of our summer breeding birds, all in their very best plumage. They're full of energy, protecting their territories, building nests, and raising young. I find that I can sit and watch for hours as they chatter and fly about, tending to their business. All this goes on whether or not we take the time to watch and listen. Fortunately, I do have this time, and it is well spent. In the cities, where it's not quiet, I wonder how birds can even hear each other. Around our home are 40 acres. It's not that bad, but at times still a bit noisy. The neighbor may be mowing his lawn or running some piece of equipment or machinery. Cars and trucks pass by on the paved road, some quite loud. National Guard jets maneuver overhead. Not too far away, someone is running a chainsaw, and I hear some type of heavy equipment in the distance. To the north, a neighbor's wind generator sounds like the air brakes on a semi. We once bought 20 acres and a cabin off the beaten path and miles from a power line. Our nearest neighbors were over a mile away. That seemed just the right distance. Good distance means good neighbors. Better than good fences, I think. They were quiet people, too, who enjoyed the woods and space as we did. We lived in our little cabin for a year and enjoyed it so much that we decided after years of moving from place to place to put down some roots and build a small house. We found the right builder and shook hands on the project. All of our savings went into a small footprint structure, an energy-efficient solar-powered home in the woods, amid the quiet we came to love. But soon things drastically changed. Within weeks of starting the project, someone began building a house to the north of us, a half mile away. Instead of solar power, they ran a large generator 24/7. Now the reason for building our home, the quiet we cherished, was gone. Through this sadness, we continued with the project we were now committed to with our builder, but we were no longer sure about living there. One person, one neighbor, changed everything. Lots of people place little value on quiet, and they have no concept that their noise is a form of pollution. It often seems that being noisy is part of human behavior, perhaps a way of confirming and broadcasting one's existence. I just read a study about how the stress of exposure to noise can lead to mental health problems, and I'm not surprised. At home a few weekends ago, I listened to what sounded like an approaching but incredibly slow and low-flying jet. It turned out to be scores of motorcycles coming down the road, two abreast. The sound of their approach and their passing lasted many minutes. It temporarily gave me mental problems. They didn't have to be this noisy. I've heard motorcycles that are fairly quiet with almost a pleasant-sounding hum. I admit that when I was a kid, I placed cards in the spokes of my bicycle to make noise, and as a teenager, I had friends with cars and trucks purposely noisy. But I grew up. Some of them never did. I know a friend who is looking for a quiet place to live, away from the snowmobiles and ATVs, away from the noisy lakes with powerboats and jet skis, and from whatever newfangled noise-making machinery a human can sit on or operate. I relate my story of finding someplace quiet. I tell her that it will break your heart to finally find such a place, only to see it changed by a new neighbor or a new motorized trail. Better to live close to some protected area that you can visit for some quiet, a place where people are forced to leave their machinery behind our protected wilderness. I've been in the wilderness, however, and still heard the noisiness of man. It is said that it takes 5 miles of woods to buffer the noise of vehicles and machinery. Considering how our wilderness is fragmented and with roads to its very edge, this leaves very little quiet wilderness. And it seems that people in the wilderness sometimes just don't understand the concept of being quiet. I think about all the wildlife I've seen because I was silent and still, and how so many people miss out on this. I'll never forget hearing an aluminum canoe being dragged by a rope down a long rocky portage. From across the lake, it was deafening. Once I crossed paths with a fellow with what was called a boombox on his shoulder. He was playing loud music and said it was to scare away bears. More commonly, I just hear people loudly talking while they paddle along at portages or in their campsite. Sound carries very well across water, and a person talking loudly 2 miles away can seem right next to you. This wouldn't be a problem if voices were in hushed tones like they are in a church. But most don't look at wilderness in this way, and I think some people are actually frightened by the quiet, like they're frightened by the dark. When we were last camping on a large lake with many islands and bays, 4 people noisily landed their 2 canoes to fish and picnic right by our campsite, where we were sitting and enjoying the day. When it was obvious that they planned to stay for a while and did not care one whit about being quiet, we asked them if they had any consideration for our space, our tiny spot on a large lake, some wilderness etiquette. They had no idea what we meant. To us, it means respecting the natural quiet of the wilderness and giving fellow travelers some privacy. They'd come for the fishing, with ample gear and plenty of bait, and that's why they were there. No doubt, many or most wilderness canoers are there mainly to fish. While they try to be quiet and not scare the fish they're after, my hope is that they will respect the quiet that we're after.